The agenda, and just two little corrections we'd like to, Jane?
Mark, I apologize, but I somewhere in this agenda, I need to address the deck presentation of the 10-year plan.
Yes.
Meeting, somewhere in this agenda, I need to address that.
Why don't we put it under committee reports?
Sure.
And also under committee reports, we're going to delay the naming committee updates to November. And we're going to remove the 7-1-1 committee. So we'll put Hanwell committee is there, and then right under that is the 10-year ed plan. And under new business, just to clarify, policy governance report, we just got to talk about our annual planning cycle, as we had briefly discussed. So with those corrections, is the agenda fine?
Agreed.
Okay, good. Approval of the minutes, and I would say it's as I remembered them, but if you remember, half is away.
So is I.
There was a typo in the minutes? One.
Mm-hmm.
Typo?
Last page.
Last page.
I think it was should be Deputy Mayor Hanlon, PSSC member of many schools, thank the committee for allowing him to speak. Not, there was no him in it, just this is allowing him to speak. To
under Roman numeral 7, the new business, the 2015-2016 annual planning cycle, some things there. It's not clear to me what was being proposed. David, can you read that? Maybe just clarify. It's about moving the master edition, we moved from the planning cycle and reposted the portal. It just doesn't seem to be coherent.
Where is this on the
Roman numeral 7?
Roman numeral 7, new business.
Page 3.
Page 3.
Page 3. Roman numeral 7.
First sentence.
Yes. So the superintendent noted that under January 2016, in your current planning cycle, okay, it said a curricular presentation of math, but math is what we did last year. So really, it should just say curricular presentation, and then it's a curricular presentation of your choice. You might like to hear about science. You might like to hear about technology. And before that meeting, you'll advise me what you'd like to hear about in January.
I was rather alarmed to see that math would be off, but I think that's something we want to go back at.
You may choose math. Yeah. The reason that math was a carryover from last year, and we had put math in there specifically, I didn't want people to think that it had to be math.
And under budgeting and forecasting, we're talking about District 19 funds, and one of the statements made here in the minutes is the district also has access to these funds for the top-up of salaries.
Top-up of salaries?
That's what it says here. I don't think that would be something to do with the District
19
funds.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
He's not top-up.
Top-up, sorry. It's not top-up, and that, I acknowledge your point there. That's not the right word to use. It's not topping up salaries like I make $60,000 a year, let's make it $65,000. It's actually that we have some additional positions in place that we're actually funding that aren't part of the plan of establishment. So that's what that means. But I see your point. It makes it look like...
Should we clarify the wording? Cause
yes.
What is it? Is it funding additional positions?
The district also has access to these funds for... funding additional positions and special projects as required. Does that sound right?
Sounds good.
Good point.
Anything else with the minutes? Good. So it's done by consensus, so everyone's fine with the minutes. We'll move on to business arising from the minutes.
Is this the place here, I believe, Mr. Chair? I wanted
I requested the sustainability studies beyond here to discuss the sustainability study of the McAdam Elementary School.
Yeah.
And at our first public meeting, we had a great presentation there, and as part of that presentation, we have to look at the what-ifs. If the school was going to be closed down, what would happen to those students? And so really, as the report, the effect of the report, in my view, it came out that really there were three options. Mm-hmm. The first option is always status quo, there'd be no changes. Number two would be children to be moved into the McAdam High School and become a K-12 school, of which there are a number in the province already. Or the third option could be moving the students to the Harvey Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And that when we read through that and I saw the stats from the representatives at that time, it seems to me that the referral to Harvey Elementary kind of changed the water and the beans a bit there. To move the children, if the school were to be closed, to move the children to the Harvey High School, there is room for them. And it's literally probably, I didn't measure it, but it's probably hardly even a kilometer away. It's down the hill, right-hand turn, and you're at the next school.
To McAdam.
In McAdam.
McAdam High.
McAdam,
yeah.
High School.
Yeah.
That would be option two. But the option three in Harvey, first of all, would require a 30-kilometer bus ride additional to the students that live right in the village. And when we were presented that, it caused a functional capacity of about 93%. And as we know, that's not an optimum number of the school is basically stuffed. Mm-hmm. It appears to me we would be unloading one school to cause a problem somewhere else, and it just didn't make sense to me in the presentation. And subsequent to that, I think if you check with a number of the parents, you'll find out that they didn't think it made sense either. Mm-hmm. And I think that is muddying the water, is the term I used that night, and I still do. And I don't see that as a useful option for us to pursue anymore. And I think for the purposes of making this study more smooth and to the point and keeping our eye on the ball, so to speak, that I think that option is not a good option whatsoever. And there is another option that works far better should we decide to close that school. So with those thoughts in mind, I brought forward a motion tonight, and Madam Secretary, you don't need to type this because I've got it typed out here for you because I can't read my own writing. I move that for the sustainability study of the McAdam Elementary School, the option of transferring the students to the Harvey Elementary School be removed from the study, thus leaving the two options of A, status quo, or B, transfer of students to McAdam High School. I so move.
Just before we have a seconder, Ron, would you mind editing that just a bit? Because there's always a third option, according to 409, and that is?
Asking the minister to invest money into repairs for the school.
So, I know it's not typed out, but we can...
Or option C,
yeah.
Asking the minister to put further repairs into the school.
So we have a motion.
I'm sorry, I left that out.
No, we have a motion. Do we have a seconder on that motion? Terry? All right. Any questions? Donald?
On the question, in terms of McAdam High, there is room there if the decision was to close the elementary school to help the host them.
Well,
because when I looked at the plans, there didn't appear to be a lot of rooms there, though.
Yeah. And in fact, that's what the beauty of the study is. The beauty of the study is that we learn that as it goes on. It's I think it's safe to say it's not impossible to determine whether it's the right move or not. The study will kind of reveal that as we go along. And if you pass this motion, then it'll allow for a little more focused attention on one particular area than the other.
Yeah, just to clarify, it simply means staff will not put any resources into investigating the Harvey option. We still have to investigate.
Yeah, that's my intention.
We still have to investigate the McAdam High option and any other options surrounding that. So there's no decision as far as the sustainability study. It's just taking that option out of the sustainability study. John?
David, do you believe that by narrowing our options at this point, given what you know, that we might be making any premature decisions in doing so, like you?
Great question. When when I present in public like I did in public meeting number one, I feel as that neutral provider of information that I have to put all on the table. So in putting all on the table, those two options were out there. It's not reasonable to talk about moving them to Woodstock or moving them to Fredericton. Those are the only two that aren't really impossible, if I can use those words. The fact that you've reflected quite a bit on it already is a testament to your commitment to the study. The information Ron has described is correct. The 93% stands out. The fact that Harvey Elementary currently has one modular classroom attached to it already, it stands out. The fact that it's 30 minutes away. We have students in our 30 kilometers. We have students in our district that travel 30 kilometers to school. Yes, we do. One kilometer is a lot different than 30 kilometers. Yes. So having said that, from an operational standpoint, it's a very reasonable motion in my mind. I don't know if that's what you were asking.
I just want to know if you had any knowledge that would suggest it might be premature for us to limit our options at this point. Do you have any knowledge to suggest?
No.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the motion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor, raise your right hand. Contrary, same side. Motion carried. All right. So, committee reports. We have Hanwell Committee.
The Hanwell Committee hasn't had its first meeting yet. We just had a new member brought forward tonight, so that's probably bring the total up to 6, and we'll meet within the next month.
Perfect. And then we have tenure ed plan.
Yeah, at the last meeting, I announced that we would hold our deck. What do you call it? Presentation on the tenure ed plan on the 2nd of November. And I apologize that it's not ready to go for the 2nd of December or November. And I would like to propose that I would delay that to the 16th. And I believe that's the same night John's having his in Woodstock. To let you know that I have a page of invitees here suggesting that I would invite, that we would invite the MLAs in the area, potentially somebody from mental health, potentially somebody from addictions, and PSSC chairs. And that would pretty much cover the invitations to the meeting. Any comments, questions?
Kim?
I had a request from my area that the mayors of the village or town of Doaketown, village of Doaketown and Stanley be invited as well.
Sure, yep.
And I think Boystown has something. Doesn't have a mayor. But I'll find out what it is.
Where did you say, Doaketown?
Stanley and the, I'll find out the title of the person in Doaketown, in Boystown.
In light of that, should I invite all the mayors?
Or a rep.
Yeah.
Yeah, mayor or rep.
I don't want any reps, I just want the mayors.
Yeah, the all or nothing.
Okay.
John?
Just to follow up on Jay's comments, and for the record, the November 16th meeting, Woodstock Education Center will take place at Medexa K Consolidated School at 6:30 p.m. The invitation emails went out, I believe, yesterday, and everything seems to be on track. I would, now that I know you were aiming for the same date, to make a request that perhaps Jane, you and I might, if it could be coordinated, meet with somebody from the department to kind of give us some of their insight beyond their objectives and so forth. Before we enter the evening with the people, it might be a good educational experience for us. So, how would you feel about that?
I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
Would you like me to set something up?
Yes.
David?
Mr. Chair, I'm just looking for clarification on what exactly is supposed to take place at this meeting. Is it going to be the exact same setup that was at the public?
No. This is the, I have it right here, David.
This is invitational meetings where groups or organizations are invited to attend to participate in a roundtable discussion, if you will.
There is a set presentation, and then there is a set of questions.
So we're following the direct lead from the meeting that was already led.
I don't know what that meeting was like, but we got a kit, for the lack of a better word. And it is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jane, but when I went over it, there's roundtable discussions and there's reporting from the table. There's presentation, there's roundtable discussion based on the pre-selected set of questions.
Three questions, yeah.
And then there's reporting from that table.
Yeah. A PowerPoint presentation, three questions, and then a wrap-up.
Yeah.
So the exact same meeting.
Is that what happened up there? Because I understood that was just a roundtable thing. No, that's the same. People just went in and looked.
My question is, are we allowed to look outside the box when it comes to this thing on the whole? Like, that's the thing. Like, because inviting some of these people that have already gone to this thing.
Well, I don't want to invite people that are already gone in that case. So,
are you comparing it to the Department of Education's open house?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't see the two the same. The Department of Education open house didn't have a presentation. They set up tables, and people were welcome to come by, and they had staff at each table, and it was actually sort of a round table that started with early childhood and sort of worked its way around to post-secondary. And they had department people at each table, and it was more of a walk-through expo type
of
thing.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
Where they kind of, there's no presentation, there's no agenda, people just sort of come in. It was open for 3 hours, people come in, they might stay for 20 minutes, they might stay for an hour, they talk to different people as they see fit. And then there was a place to provide comments and put it in a box. So a little bit different. This is an invitational stakeholder session where the toolkit gives some guidance on how to roll it out. But I don't think I think if you do step outside of the box, I don't think the police will come knocking on your door.
It's the three questions that I have issue with, because it's the same that every PSSC I've sat down. I've gone through these three questions at least 10 times already.
When I say outside
the box, it's, are we allowed to come up with our own questions to get other people thinking about different things with that?
And the answer to that is yes. I see where you're making the comparison now.
Thank you.
The principals would have had the same toolkit. And maybe they may be running these types of sessions with their PSSC committees.
Mm. Their staffs as well.
And with their staffs. Likewise, here we are at our staff. We're doing some reporting.
However, moment of silence. There's another meeting going. There's another way to consult. Like this is one way, and it's very formatted, and everyone, that's what we're doing right now. But I know they've got the website and a number of ways for feedback, and you know, if you want to have another meeting to gather more feedback and turn that in, they just want feedback. But I think it's important for us to go through this exercise, and I don't think we should invite all the same people, but I think this toolkit should be used. They did hire a consultation expert. And it is a good format, especially not if you have to sit through it 10 times, but it is a good format. And it's going to get some key information that they need, but that's not all the information that they're going to go by. So use the website, talk to people.
These are wide open questions as well. Wide open.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Through you to Gene, do we have various ages so far invited?
Various ages
of people invited for this.
You mean like 10, 20, and 80?
No, I'm thinking of 20 and 30s.
I'm
thinking of people maybe just graduate, either the president of the student council. I'm thinking of people that are just out of the workforce or people who have been out of the workforce.
Yeah, well, why don't we have a little conversation about that?
Because some of the names you and I looked at are well established or well known names.
Yeah.
And I just think that some people who are just out of the workforce or just the university may have some.
Jane, as far as suggestions, is that cut off over, or do you think still?
No.
Okay, so
I'm on my list. I have I have a representative from STU, representative from UNB, from the Eastern College, from NBCC. These are just my rough list of people that I thought that we should include in this. I can see us maybe inviting a representative from the Bachelor of Education program at both universities. I think that would be a good haul in there.
Good.
Yeah. But I think we need to get on it quickly.
David?
And the root of my question was, I'm not sure how the advertising was done for that open house, but I don't think it was directed to a large percentage of the population, even though it was happening.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's where I want to make sure we get the right people and enough people.
Well, for us, of course, it's invitation only, and it can only be so many people, or it would be too big, I would think. I don't know what they recommend, but maybe we can do more if it's quickly, because I think it's got to be in by the end of November. I'm not sure.
That's a revolving door as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What if?
What you just said. When it's supposed to be in, I've heard 4 dates now.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Ron and I will be in touch, and I think David wants to help out a little bit too.
Oh,
yeah. We're going to keep him, you know, toned down. We'll be good.
Good.
I got a few rocks and weights.
Yeah.
Correspondence? We didn't have any correspondence. No. Okay. Superintendent's reports. We'll turn it over to David. ER1 in your manual, your binder, if you wanted to turn there.
Let's hope this turns on.
What's that?
Is that what you're for?
This is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got it.
You got it. So, 3 superintendent monitoring reports tonight from our annual planning cycle. And I'll put them up on the board, but they're on your portal under the calendar and under this monitoring reports section. This will come up in a second. The first one I'll give around a handout. Well, this is one of those cases where I plugged into it.
I'll make good use of it.
Doesn't burn well.
Somebody worked very hard. Thank you very much.
One more?
Yeah.
One more again.
District Education Council.
Yeah, once you go, okay, now go up and hit Anglophone West. That little square. Hit the square. The square.
Square.
Plus five. Yeah, there we go.
That went really well.
I usually go this way.
Yeah, go that way.
This way.
Let's see.
And then this way. And then
there, right there, you found it. Yeah, down.
Good. Okay.
Go back.
Should be right here. Here we go. Sorry for. There we go. So here's our first report for tonight. It's once a year in October where the policy, it's an ER1 on mission statement, and it's a policy that talks about having a clear and carefully monitored mission statement. I'll say the mission statement, I'd like to start using the language was, but we'll see here in a few minutes. Each student of Anglophone West School District will achieve his or her fullest potential, continuing to be a productive citizen in an ever-evolving world. So, as you might recall, over the course of 5 or 6 months, our senior admin team put a lot of work into thinking strategically about our district and trying to move our district forward and trying to get out of the weeds of always being involved so deeply in management, like buildings and money and buses, and tried to get a focus back to education. And we took a lot of time to talk about mission, vision, and in addition to that, core values, and have put forward a new mission and a new vision and a set of core values for our district. The mission statement that I present is in three words: excited, involved, and prepared. And in addition, as I mentioned, to this mission statement, a new vision statement and a set of core values. And I've handed around a poster that summarizes, that has all of that information on one page. Can tell you that the mission statement is clearly presented in our district improvement plan, as is the vision statement and core values. Remember that the DIP is available to you on our portal as well as to the public on the website. And we monitor this district improvement plan regularly. In fact, today, outside of my office, there was a DIP monitoring meeting where they take the time to focus on the district improvement plan, sort of a system check on where we are. Do things need to be tweaked? Are we going in the right direction? Are we working on the actions that have been set out within the plan? Likewise, as you know, schools develop school improvement plans, or SIPs, and we like for them to be linked to our district improvement plan. We have an educational leadership team that reviews the school improvement plans and goes back to the principals, whether it's a director of schools or our supervisor of data and accountability, to offer feedback on school improvement plans as well as point out data that can be helpful in guiding them in their decisions. We're a data-rich system. We don't always take all of that data and use it to the best of its ability, but we have an awful lot of data, and when it comes to improvement planning, it's taking that data and using it to our advantage and helping inform the decisions that we need to make for the future. So looking ahead, we as district leaders want to promote our new vision, mission, and core values as really foundational beliefs when it comes to student learning, engaging children and stakeholders, and creating a professional and learning environment that is safe and positive and forward-moving. It's my hope that when district and school leaders are traveling about and talking with teachers and talking with principals, that they're making reference to this new mission, vision, and set of core values. And we also would like to see teachers reflecting on them as well. Really, when it comes to, you know, times of greatest difficulty and times of greatest success, we should be able to lean on those core values and count on them helping to guide us in the decisions that we need to make. I can tell you that as superintendent, I'm staying current on the successes and the areas of need for our schools. We have as a form of positive communication and in the spirit of collaboration, I'll be starting up soon our district conference call series on policy and current affairs. We've taken a few additional steps as well. We've created a culture committee. This culture committee that's been put together, it consists of district leadership on the education side, as well as on the business side, as well as school principals and vice principals. And this culture community is charged with the task of helping to shape positive change in our organization. There's no denying that the last 3 years with amalgamation have not been easy years. Each year has been a better year, and we're looking forward to continuing that momentum and felt a culture committee that can speak openly and freely and point out ideas from different lens can be helpful in changing and shaping the culture of our district. Likewise, a leadership committee, you might recall that in our organization with 70 schools, when it comes to principal groupings, we have clusters of schools and 13 clusters that are put together based on size and location, and they're just different groupings of principals, and we've asked the principals to send one representative from each of those clusters to come together to form a leadership committee, so sort of like a liaison committee. Again, it helps our district leadership stay current with the successes and challenges at the school setting. So again, of course, looking forward, I'm going to ask that the DEC consider changing policy ER1 to reflect a new mission statement. Same policy, same concept, but with a new statement. As is the case with monitoring reports, I know you like me to talk about the challenges and addressing the challenges, and we continue to work at building some consistency in expectations and operations across a very large school district. Geography, people, it's a big district, and although I'm proud of the progress that we've made, we're still developing as an amalgamated district. We continue to work at building trust. I say we, the directors and I, continue to work at building trust among the staff and the students and the parents, as well as community stakeholders. And it can be challenging with the large number of staff and students and the geography when it comes to that personal interaction among leadership and staff and students. And then, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the volume of managerial tasks, it can really monopolize my time, the time of the directors, thank heavens for a great team that I work with, and it takes away from that increased ability to provide educational leadership. So I put those out as challenges, but challenges can be faced, and we continue to work at building those relationships. We continue to work at living through the core values that I really believe in. I find myself, you know, when I think I want to respond in a snippy way, I think about, investing in people and encouraging participation and being respectful, acting in a professional and respectful manner. So even though I might be agitated, I'm reminded of these core values, and I always try to live by them. Sharing responsibilities, it's critical, and the senior admin team is taking the time to formally clarify roles and responsibilities. It's fair to note that the superintendent evaluation committee has pointed out to me, David, you need to make sure that you work hard in the delegation of your responsibilities and that you continue to work As a team, you can't do it all yourself, and that's advice that's well noted. And I have to tell you, and I hope anyone who works with us would tell you, that we're very much committed to our district. So coupled with hard work and reaching out for help when necessary, I think we'll continue to see our district grow. So that is my report on ER1.
John?
In your continuing effort, David, to unify the district and a consistent message, I'm just wondering whether the branding and the identification of the district could continue to be tightened. And instead of having both references to ASD, like W, in Anglophone West School District, that perhaps we could become identified as one. Just a thought.
Not sure I caught.
We talked before about the unifying mission and vision and so forth.
Yes.
And kind of the branding and an image of what the district is.
Yes.
So as is here is the Anglophone West School District.
Yes.
In your document, there are numerous references to ASD-W.
Yes.
Which is not Anglophone West School District.
Oh, I can explain that. Yes. And in fact, that's a statement. That is... something that took a lot of time for people to get used to. But that is the official acronym that was provided to us at amalgamation. I know the letters are backwards, and a lot of people point that out. But it truly is the official acronym that was provided. And so the official name is Anglophone West School District. That's our official name. But when it comes to the acronym, again, officially, it was declared as the Anglophone School District, and then there are four of us, so dash west, dash east. So I know it doesn't
make sense. I understand, I accept your response. I would just note for the record that in unifying the district, the staff, the team, the students, everybody, it would be beneficial to have one brand, one image, one name that's consistently used, everybody knows who they are.
Okay.
And in my opinion, using two is not helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Any others? So in your recommendation, as far as our mission statement, are you saying this vision becomes a mission statement, or we draft a new mission statement to incorporate that?
No, I would like for our mission to be excited, involved, prepared.
Okay.
That's the mission of our district. The vision is more of a statement of what we want to see,
right.
And we want to see those in our system working towards and empowering and assisting our students to be resilient, to be confident, and to be contributing members of our communities.
Okay.
And what I'm asking for, because we have an official DEC policy that says our mission is, and it's one that was adopted at amalgamation, and it was actually a carry forward from a previous district, I'm asking for the council to modify that policy, taking that mission statement out and putting in a new one.
Okay. David?
I have one small question, considering we're talking about an anthology. How long is this good for? Do you plan on looking at this whole mission and vision again for the next little while?
I don't think so. I think we need to go with this. I think we need to make it something that's recognizable. I know some. I think back to my early days and some who are retired educators might remember Marilyn Adams Smith, a former superintendent. And you remember the statement, "Tell me how it's good for kids," and it was something that people just knew, and it stuck, and it had the ring to it, and it's something she believed in, and it lasted a long time, and people still talk about it, and she's been retired for many, many years. So I would like to see it last. Someday I'll be replaced, and there might be new leadership who might like to see new things, and someday a district education council may say, "Hey, we need to change this," but we take that as it comes.
Okay.
Okay, so the next time you report on this,
yes,
what's the report going to look like if you're not looking at changing this?
So the next time, according to our planning cycle, it would be this time next year, and I would just report more on how we're living the mission statement in our daily work.
And it being an end policy, where would be the vision within that policy, and within that report?
Not sure what you're asking there.
This is an ends policy, so it should be some futurized thinking. And this one definitely is, because you've changed it and you're looking to the future.
Right.
So next year when we report on this,
yes,
there should be something to look at for the future. So this is, and I understand it's hard, but that's why I'm asking, because when this is presented next time, where's the thought into the future?
Yep.
Because it's an end policy, and that's what we should be looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's one word, if it's something that comes out, I'm just curious to how you're going to monitor this yourself, the report on us going forward.
Right. Yeah, I'll have to give that some thought.
The
good news is I have a year to do.
Wouldn't be under your challenges and what you're addressing, because that vision is not going to change.
No, that would come, David, if they could have looking ahead and reacting to what happened on these values in the past year. But the vision and the core values, hopefully, unless they're not good, should stay there.
Yeah.
They should be fairly
well in the interpretation.
John, the application of them.
All right. Be done. John.
Another item I have, some current situations on page 2, schools are asked to develop school improvement plans that are linked to the debt. I would like to recognize that in my experience, schools have limited, parents have limited opportunity for engagement under school improvement plans, although it is structured within the planning process for them. The timing of input for the school improvement plans and the district improvement plans talks about how the two are connected. I would like to see that timetable changed to give parents more of an opportunity for engagement in the school improvement plans in terms of reviewing progress and discussing future plans. Typically speaking, the school administration are up against the deadline, might rush things out, and they say to the parents, we have 10 minutes to talk about this, here it is, and let's get it done, and there's limited opportunity. So I think that if the school improvement plans are a critical part of this, and the parents and our students are part of that, we should provide proper opportunity.
Are you suggesting a different timeline, John?
I believe there should be, not for the reporting from David, I'm talking about between the school improvement plans and the DIP improvement, the DIP, and it talks about here at the bottom of page 1, the top of page 2, the connection. I'd like to see a change in time of plans.
But aren't these plans a 3-year sort of plan, and you tweak them each year?
They're kind of living documents, yeah, is what we like to say. And like I remember when I was a principal, I'd print mine in poster size and have it up on the staff room wall, and people would come with markers and they would write things on it. So a living document. My hope is that the experience you have, John, with the 10 minutes at a PSSC meeting isn't one that's occurring across 70 schools. I'm going to hope that it's not, because the principals know that that a school improvement plan is a very important responsibility. And they know that among the responsibilities of the PSSC under that umbrella is their engagement in the SIP process. If they're not taking that seriously, then I need to have a conversation with them. That's for sure. In actual fact, it's we call it a living document. The third professional development day, which is in January, is a day for schools to focus on school improvement plans. So even mid-year, there's still some fluidity to them. But if I think about your comments, John, the biggest concern is appropriate engagement on the part of parents in the process. And I need to count on principals to do that. And if I hear that they're not, then I need to talk to them about it, that's for sure.
Would you be willing to recognize that there are typically limited time frames for the principals to get the input from their staff and the parents and get the documents in by deadline in the way it rolls out. Would you agree that typically is the case?
Well, when is the deadline for the screws out?
I don't know the deadline.
There is a deadline. Yeah. By which somebody at the office here wants those plans.
And so posted to the portal. And what's more important to me than a deadline is having an appropriate school improvement plan. So if a principal is approaching a deadline and their school improvement plan isn't finished, then my expectation would be that principal would upload to the portal what they have and would continue working on it. And then when they have a copy that's a little bit stronger, a little bit firmer, they'd pull down what they'd have and they'd put their revised copy up. And that might happen two or three times throughout the year. And that doesn't bother me. We put a deadline out there so that principals recognize that it is a responsibility to
perhaps there should be some discussion around that with principals and with the office staff here, because I think there's a real perception out there that there is a deadline, has to be done. That's why you're not getting a lot of time spent with that at the PSSC meeting.
Yeah, I can do that.
Ron, did you have something else?
Well, I think it's all been said, but again, my understanding that the school improvement plan was an ongoing, now that we're in the vogue of using school improvement plans, that it's an ongoing living document.
Correct.
And so at first it bothered me that some school improvement plans didn't come out until December or January. I think, oh, what are you doing now? But they're working from one that already existed. So it's not like that they don't have one. The deadline is, if you don't give somebody a deadline to have them in, then you know what happens. They could come in May or June. So you have to have a deadline. But I would hope we're not, as a council or as a district, feeling that if there's not a school improvement plan in by December or January, that the school's not working on. It should be worked on monthly, almost in staff meetings or whatever, I'd assume. And certainly some of the schools I've been in, that's what seems to be happening. So the deadline is an office say, look, we have to have some kind of progress report on what's happening here. But it isn't like, until this gets done, we don't have a plan. I mean, I've seen the school improvement plans in all the 3 years I've been here. They already exist. It's a matter of refining or reworking. And I think that's been said.
Anyone else's terms of the report?
I've noted that it's a good idea to reach out to staff, district staff and principals, to ensure they understand expectations of having a plan and what they have to do to upload it for that accountability piece, but also the expectations of ensuring that plan is put together, is monitored, has involved parents, and that the plan that they have posted to our portal can come down with and go up, come down and go up, and that the living document is what's important.
And maybe our chairman, when he makes his video there to present it to PSSCs, can emphasize that the PSSC is certainly an integral part of the SIP.
Yeah.
If we need a motion, I would see if we move forward with the understanding this too is also a living document, that we accept the report and the mission statement and move on. Mm-hmm. I would so move.
Second.
What's your motion?
I would move that we accept this report on this ER1 from our superintendent, including the mission statement and the vision, and we move on with the understanding that this is a living document.
Okay. So the report's a living document, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Reinforced.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Any questions on that motion?
Is that indicating that we change our mission statement in our...
Well, the part of the list that we just already said before, the living part is each year we're going to look at the challenges, the address, and the updates, and what was done about it. I would assume that's going to be reported every year. I'm with Don. I don't expect we're going to have a new set of visions and a new mission statement every year. I mean, this... You have
I think Kim was clarifying he made a recommendation in his report that our mission statement change.
So if we accept the report, then...
It's changed.
I'm assuming this report is our new ER1.
So, right, in your policy manual, we will no longer read Each student of Anglophone West School District will achieve his or her fullest potential, continuing to be a productive citizen in an ever-evolving world. We'll read. Excited, involved, prepared. And perhaps I could even include our vision and core values within.
Sean?
What if Ron's motion was just a note, including the amendments to the policy as so requested by the superintendent?
But if there was a better motion than mine, John. I like it. So agreed. That was a bit of sense.
Donald is the seconder, yeah. Okay. So do you understand the motion is to accept the report and a note that we are changing ER1 as indicated in the report? Is there questions on the motion?
Question.
Ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Okay. Motion carried.
I appreciate the support of DEC in that. So the next one. Oh, I went back too far. Is ER4. So, vision and beliefs. Again, reported once per year. The policy states that as a council, you're committed to the rigorous and continual improvement of its capacity to govern effectively, using policies to bind vision in terms of expectation and concerns, and its concern in terms of values. Beliefs, and you can see here, 6 beliefs. While children can learn, lifelong process, learning is a lifelong process, education is a shared community responsibility, strong leadership, professional development, and the DEC being accountable. I talk again about my earlier report here and the creation of a new mission vision, set of core values. I quote our vision for you, talked about that already. There's a little bit of intermingling of these two reports, I'm sure you'll see. We as a staff, at the district and school level, certainly do believe that all children can learn, and we promote and support effective teaching strategies that support this belief. Differentiation of instruction, universal design for learning, our strategies, our overarching strategies for teachers. We want to ensure that appropriate curriculum and learning for all. Also take into account that in our province it's important that all students are learning in an inclusive environment. Equally important is ensuring that we have a positive and safe learning environment. And as mentioned before, our schools prepare SIPs, school improvement plans, and positive learning environment plans to address that. We certainly recognize learning as a lifelong process. The importance of quality public school education that's helping provide the framework for lifelong learning. We as adults try to model that learning through our commitment to professional learning and in-service and specific training. A little bit about engaging the community. Remember that we have a small staff of community school coordinators, in fact 7 of them, spread out over 9 schools. They do very well at making connections with the community. We see many businesses and stakeholders engaged in our organization. I point out the University of New Brunswick, for instance. A lot of businesses and stakeholders will invest in our schools, whether it's financially or in kind through their service. We are an active member of the nationally recognized organization known as the Learning Partnership. And this organization supports student growth in the areas of literacy and transition to school, entrepreneurship, and professional development. And recently I've become a part of that National Board of Directors. We have a credible leadership development program, and that helps develop aspiring leaders and helps them gain their principal certificate. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the challenges, because we've seen some changes to that program. But I can also tell you about a new leadership development program that we've launched in conjunction with UNB, and we have an overwhelming number of school and district leaders who have signed up for this leadership opportunity. It's been a great, we've had a great start to it as recent as last week. Educational and curricular leads that support and coach classroom teachers, and likewise, that's not only in curriculum but in education support services. We do have a subject coordinator that oversees a beginning teachers program. A lot of the teachers in our system, we don't see as many first year teachers anymore, because it's that recall of decontract teachers. We have a professional growth model of supervision, so we expect principals to be in the classrooms and conducting walkthroughs and formal supervision process. We try and balance our school administration meetings with a mix of PD and business. A variety of different professional development opportunities for all staff in a variety of different ways, including an offer of financial assistance when it's possible for educators to attend different events. And then, of course, it's incumbent upon me to report regularly to you through a formal reporting structure that's outlined in our annual planning cycle. As a DEC, you host public meetings around the district, abiding by policy and hosting our public meeting minutes. You also collaborate with PSSCs in the district, and you have your own section on the website. So when we look ahead, you can count on me continuing to use our mission, vision, and core values to help guide practices and daily routines. You as a DEC, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, are supporting the engagement from stakeholders with respect to building the new 10-year plan. I can tell you that we as a district and school staff have opportunities to contribute as well. We as a district are trying to engage school leadership through a new culture committee and school leadership liaison committee. And once again, I'll ask for the DEC to support a change to the formal policy, the formal DEC policy ER4, to reflect our new mission, vision, and core values. There are some challenges, and you've heard me talk about them before. It can be a challenge to remain focused on educational leadership when there's so many managerial tasks that are competing for my attention and the attention of staff. I mentioned the leadership development program. There's been a reduction in funding for this program, so we're trying to think of unconventional ways to continue to allow aspiring principals to get that training. We remain committed to supporting that growth in leadership. We face, you as a DEC has faced many annual responsibilities that are managerial as opposed to educational. That's a challenge. I think back to our most recent working meeting, as recent as 2 weeks ago, and I think many people found it rewarding to really focus on some educational conversations. I can tell you that professional development days, sometimes they face criticism from the public as time away from teaching children. It's, you know, the different people have different opinions, and that's why it's so important that when we have those PD days, it's meaningful, focused learning, and that nobody takes advantage of that time. There are costs associated with release time and travel when it comes to professional development. Every time a teacher is replaced, there's a $224 cost to that, to have a supply teacher go in. And it's fair to say that a loss in staff under the umbrella of subject coordinators and teacher leads has led to these groups refocusing their strategies for supporting teachers. The commitment to supporting teachers is still there. So how do we address these challenges? We remain committed to the mission, vision, and core values. We need to think unconventionally. I think back to a learning style inventory that many of us did as leaders. And one of the things that came out on me is, David, you're a conventional thinker. I know this may surprise some of you, but I'm pretty analytical and conventional. And so I'm being challenged to think outside of the box and think unconventionally. And as a team, we're working with one another to try and build up those categories that rank lower to try and make us well-balanced leaders. Continue to search for financial investment through other means, including our self-sustaining dollars as required. You'll note that there's a temporary reduction in the number of professional development days under the umbrella of the minister, and should days be reinstated. We need to make sure that those days are clear and focused purpose. And looking for flexibility on the part of curriculum leaders and using the expertise that's been reassigned to the classroom, that's allowing for continued attention to teacher growth. So some of the appendices, of course, there's our poster. You can see I've listed an outline of that new leadership development initiative that we've launched with UNB. And you can see here the school calendar and descriptions of different professional development days. And this was the pamphlet of our summer learning opportunities. And then finally, a document that you recognize quite well is our annual learning cycle, or our annual planning cycle. So that is my modern report on ER4.
John?
A couple of things. Dave, could you speak to the quantity of time, district-controlled professional development opportunities, and also the rate of participation in this current year so far?
Yes. District-controlled. So at the beginning of the year, there are two council days that fall under the umbrella of the MBTA. Those 2 days are planned by a committee of school-based representatives and district representatives. One was district-focused and one was school-based focused. So those were the 2 days at the beginning of the year. There were 2 days in October that fall under the umbrella of the minister, and one of those was with a provincial theme, and the second was with some discretion on the part of the district. The next one will be a half day that is aligned with parent-teacher interviews in November, and we allow schools to develop a plan for that. In January, and there'll be a similar day like that in April. In January, there will be a third day that falls under the umbrella of the minister that's focused on school improvement plans. Then there will be the provincial NBTA professional learning day that's outside the scope of the district. It's something that we all attend, but it's planned by the provincial association. And then finally, there's a day in May where the collective bargaining unit has a business meeting in the morning or in the afternoon, and the other half of the day is professional learning as based by school. So it's a mix of school, district, and province, and association when it comes to planning it.
Is there more or less district control time in this current year than there was in the previous year?
Less.
By how much?
Well, there, traditionally in recent years, there's been 5 days that's been allocated by the minister. It is currently at 3. That doesn't mean it will be 3 for sure. I know that that he and his team are taking that into account, and it stems from loss of instructional time due to weather. So we're watching for word as to whether 2 more days will be introduced. Normally when there's 5, there's a little bit more input from the district on what it can look like. There's a little more time to spread out there.
When you say coming from the minister, I just get confused a little bit. So the district time, comparatively, this time from the minister, is this allocated district time from the minister? Or is it
well, the time, when I say under the umbrella of the minister, the district can't declare that it's a non-instructional day. The minister can make that declaration. And in recent years, there have been 5 days as such.
But the district controlled?
Some the district controlled, some the province controlled, and said, we would like you to focus on this, this, and this on this particular day. But on this particular day, you as a district can decide what to do.
So what I'm trying to get at is specifically the district time, last year to this year. What's the change in...
I would estimate 1 to 2. Days.
1 to 2 days less this year than
correct.
Last
year. Yes.
How about rates of participation?
I have to believe that rates of participation remain 100%. It's a working day, and my expectation would be that teachers get up and report to work just like any other day, and they're engaged in the learning of that particular day. They might get their duty-free lunch hour on that particular day, but the rate of participation, I'm counting on being high.
I'll take
Okay, Ron. This may be an unfair question through you to the superintendent. Of the district-controlled days, which are actually given to you, by on the non-subject council days, can you give me a percent, or give us a percent, of those days that are spent on... mastering effective teaching or best practices as opposed to introductory of new programs?
I can't at this moment. We would see a mix of both. There are some things where there's a need for annual or twice a year or 3 times a year recertification, or once a year or once every 2 years or once every 3 years. So I think of things like nonviolent crisis intervention, first aid, violent threat risk assessment, assist. So there are different programs that have a call for a recertification over a period of time. Then there is sometimes the introduction of new curriculum where there's a call for a focus. Then there is some...
Look, can I just stop you? That's the sometimes I'd love to know. I hear the word new programs a lot.
Yes.
And there's new report cards and a new math program and a new reading program, a new science program, and it just seems everything new. I know life changes, but...
Sure.
My concern, and it's nothing to do with you or your administration, I'm just concerned for our teachers about how much time is being spent learning new curricula rather than working on best practices and teaching techniques.
Sure, yeah.
That's a concern of mine. I see a lot of new being used a lot.
And the new that our teachers are focused on that you hear about the most would be the implementation of a new school student information system, PowerSchool, and the implementation of new report cards at the K-8 level. So yes, you are correct. There's some new there. And my hope is that when you look at this, when you talk about new curriculum, that there is a mix of presenting new material, but of course, of spending that time talking about good teacher strategies too, good instructional practices. So I'd like to think that it's incorporated within. There's actually a document that that the Director of Curriculum and Instruction sent me that I didn't include in my report, but I think I'll post it to the portal for you because there seems to be enough interest that shows an outline of what happened on that particular professional development day. And maybe that might allow you to think a little bit more about what happened on the Thursday and what happened on the Friday.
We'll go to David Bowen first.
I have a question, but I'll make a comment as far as the development and new things as well. But the greatest part about the portal is the reason you hear new is it's been piloted first, and the best part about that is all the teachers have feedback on that. So when it's ready to be rolled out, there is literally 100 different things. Any teacher that has to teach a new thing can go and find out from a teacher that's already gone through the pilot. It really helps transition. Now, as saying that, my question is referring to your challenges, David. When it comes to it can be challenging to remain focused on educational leadership when there are so many managerial tasks overshadowing the leadership responsibility. Your addressing is kind of vague for me when it says we will continue unconditional when to provide professional learnership and a learnership development. What does that look like to you, if that makes sense? Because I'm assuming that's your answer for that challenge. And I'm just looking at something that I can dig my teeth into for monitoring. And
sure.
just you saying, I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's unconventional that we would offer an invitation to a mix of educational district leaders, management district leaders, and a mix of principals and vice principals to come together and sit at this table and help develop or help mold the culture of a school district moving forward. That's an example of an unconventional idea.
That's helping with, from what you're telling us here, is the managerial tasks that you have. Right, because it's all rolled into there.
Yes.
And we understand you're mm-hmm. completely overworked, right? So,
right.
That step is helping you deviate your managerial tasks.
It's ensuring that we don't lose sight of the educational leadership responsibilities that we have.
And are you planning or looking at ways to minimize this managerial thing that's basically bootstrapping you down?
Right now it's putting in hours and it's working hard. It's leaning on my team to help me when I can't get everything done. It's asking for patience when somebody's looking for something and it might not be available right there. It's trying to find a balance in a work day. Our senior admin team is working with an advisor who's helping to try and keep us focused. And when I talked about that learning styles inventory, that LSI, that points out my strengths and my weaknesses, you know, he's challenging me to think of doing things in different ways. You know, something as simple as my emails. I get so many emails in the run of the day. I've now established a folder where if I'm carbon copied in an email, it goes to this folder. And I only check that carbon copy folder once every day or once every 2 days, because I know that if I'm carbon copied, then it's not really to me. It's just something that I need to be aware of, and it's something that I can look at quickly. Whereas in my inbox, there's probably some action. So different little tricks of the trade like that I'm learning over time.
And he's a husband and a dad.
Donald?
True.
I think principals in the schools are feeling the same pressures.
Yeah.
As I hear from them, too. And if there are little strategies, like as you're mentioning here,
yep.
that you develop at the district level, then perhaps they should be shared with the principals, because they're having a hard time between managerial tasks and being education leaders.
Yep.
And I'm afraid the managerial tasks are outweighing what they should be doing in the school.
One of the things that they could tell you is when we had our opening meetings in August, and this person that's been working with us was there for the second day, for the professional learning day. It was really eye-opening, and the principals were able to, in fact, the superintendent and the directors were at the front of the room, and the principals were able to tell us what they think. And we made a number of commitments to them about ensuring that anything we asked for, there was a very specific reason for it, and it wasn't asking for the sake of asking, or, you know. And this is an example of an unconventional practice. For instance, every year, principals knew that they had to submit an annual report from their school. So the annual reports come in. They're great to you know, to refer to. They take a lot of information and they summarize it. We've used them in sustainability studies. But there are three binders on an annual basis with 70, 75 schools of annual reports. And I can't possibly read through every single report, every single statement that's being made. So they said, you know, a lot of the things in these school reports, that information is available elsewhere. And we took that back to our team and said, you know what, they're right. When we want that information, it's available here, it's available there, and if it's not available, then we can ask them. Why do we ask them to submit an annual school report every year? So we wrote to them and said, you don't need to submit an annual school report. So it's things like that. We were listening to them. School Safety Week is at the end of September. We know that they know that they have to practice fire drills, lockdowns. We don't need for them to write out their plan for the week, submit it to the district office for us to review. So we said, make sure that you practice your things in Safe School Week. You don't have to report it to us. So we're doing little things like that.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
And not getting everybody to copy everybody on that email. So you've got to check it and see.
Yes.
But now we know to send to him, not copy.
That all, if you need me, don't put me in the CC.
Because you're not going to get there. You're going to be filed away.
Back to the discussion about the quantity of time and participation in professional development. And perhaps this is not the right place to be talking about it, but I'm just imagining at some reporting stage an outline of, and you referred to Ron's question, the types of things that are included in the professional development, of the subjects that are covered, district, province controlled, last year's number, this year's number, and participation rates. And that would give us kind of an overall global view of what is occurring in professional development. Does that make sense or not?
It would be a considerable task to put something like that together. Starting backwards with participation rates, there would be no measurement of participation rates. It's a work day, we expect people to go to work, and we expect them to participate. So we wouldn't necessarily have that information. I would have a calendar of events that are occurring this year and a calendar of events that occurred last year, and we could certainly compare the two. A lot of times the department and the district and the school, there's such an intermingling of it, you can't really classify it as this is provincial, this is district, or this is school, because it's important on all three levels, sometimes on all two levels.
Essentially, it is. You would not see as something that would be easy to do.
No.
Okay.
No.
So I guess I'm just referring to how it's touched upon in this report.
Yes.
Is a bit of a broad brush, and it doesn't kind of tell me how progress is being achieved in professional development. And I am curious to know more about that.
Okay.
So I'll just throw that out there. And I also wanted to comment on District and schools all prepare improvement plans and positive learning environment plans. If there would be some way to summarize that information as a monitoring report for us to see the summation of that, would it be possible or not?
Those plans are uploaded to a portal, and so we have a site that shows 70 plans listed in. And I'm not sure what you mean by summarizing them.
Well, taking all the information from all those reports and summarizing that information into a district report for positive learning environment.
You're not talking then about our district positive learning environment plan?
No. I'm talking about a report on what is coming back from the school.
If you
tell us this, it's not easy and really it's not something to be done, that's fine. No, it
would take considerable work. It doesn't mean that if the council has something that they would like to see, and then so be it. But I'd like for you to define it. And,
okay.
And yes.
But most schools, don't they post their SIP and also their PLEP mostly on their websites? And from year to year, if you read one from one year and then check the next year, you can see that they're tweaking them or not. To do all 70 schools in one report would be difficult, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see what it would look like, but yeah, it might be a challenge. Any other questions on the report? So there was recommendations in there. Are we prepared to make a motion on that tonight? It is recommended that the DEC revise DEC policy ER4 to reflect the new mission, vision, and core values document. So you would picture, David, this in essence becoming the document.
Left to ER4, that's right.
Yeah.
I would move that we accept the report for ER4 with its recommendations.
Okay.
For change.
Do we have a seconder on that, Jane? Do we have questions on that motion? That would change that policy, ER4, to reflect the document that's been handed out by David. Any questions? Ready for the question? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All contrary, same sign. All right, that motion is carried.
Thank you very much. So the last one for today is the academic support for students involved in the potato harvest. And I have to acknowledge Diane Kay, Jay Colpitz, Ann Seneschal, who's the current principal, and Jason Smith, the former acting principal. You can see here, you might recall from the policy, that there are a number of responsibilities that fall to the superintendent, to the school, with respect to the potato harvest enhancement plan. Remember, the FEP, as we call it, replaced the potato break four years ago. So the potato harvest enhancement plan allows students to miss up to 15 days in order to work the annual fall potato harvest. And we put strategies in place to try and ensure that those students don't fall behind in their schooling and are able to balance both, to juggle both balls. It's in its fourth year of existence and evolving each and every year. There are some responsibilities. For instance, I have the responsibility to write to the president and executive director of Potatoes ND to reconfirm my support for the student workers in the harvest. And I ask for the president to pass this support along to the families so that they're all aware that the district does support students being in the fields and in the potato houses during this important time of the year. And that occurred. I wrote to them and they have passed on that information. Registration began a little bit earlier, back in April actually, and continued into September. Principal reached out to students. For 2015-16 this year, there were 72 students registered. 74 students last year, 93 the year before, and 112 in the first year of existence. The school has revised its tracking system so they can accurately code the student absences. I saw a summary that was kind of neat. And instead of, you might recall, we used to assign FTE. We felt that there was a little more flexibility required. So instead of investing in actual FTE, we've made an investment in supply teacher days. So the school can strategically use these supply teacher days over the course of the fall to target students, whether it's getting ahead or catching up, whether it's a supply teacher going in to replace a regular classroom teacher who comes out and works with specific students or vice versa. But I think the school is finding that that it's offered a little extra flexibility. Really, the director of schools and the director of curriculum instruction, Jay and Diane, have led this initiative really well. They've represented me. The principal is always instrumental in the process. They've had their meetings. The minutes are a part of this report. And the principal continues to monitor the student needs. I can tell you, as we look ahead, there's a follow-up meeting scheduled for November 19th. The principal actually keeps in touch with the district staff who's in charge. The principal will also continue to follow up with farmers and confirm student participation. The harvest is coming to an end now, and we expect students will be back full-time, if not already, very, very soon. The whole concept of high school renewal, which is a part of the policy, again, under the umbrella of the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, it's not moving along at this particular time. It hasn't been forgotten, but when it is rolling along, our Director of Curriculum and Instruction is an active part of that process. Something new this year, a thank you luncheon hosted by the school for the farmers. That will also be on November 19th. And then I note here as well that our council has a Potato Harvest Enhancement Plan Committee that's charged with the task of reviewing the decline in participation in the Potato Harvest Enhancement Plan over the past 4 years. So I know that you as a committee are going to reach out to farmers and others in the hopes of getting a better understanding of the program and the associated benefits and challenges. I can tell you again, recommendations. This seems to be the night to put out some recommendations on DEC policy. This one, there's a very, as I scroll down to Appendix E, Diane and Jay have really taken that appendix from the policy and made some recommendations that makes it a little more current. That policy was developed by former School District 14, and Miriam, I know you probably remember it from its roots. But now we're finding some of the language use is perhaps not as relevant, and we'll see here below that there's some very specific recommendations, and if you like those recommendations, then we can make the change. Of course, there are challenges. It's a balancing act of working on the farm and maintaining your studies. That's challenging for students. It's challenging for teachers as well. They go above and beyond their regular expectations and trying to ensure that those students have the opportunity to keep up to date in their schoolwork. There has been a decline in participation. We can see that with the numbers. It's unsure at this time if it is a challenge to the farmers or not, and I know over the course of this year you're going to work on that. And there are some annual costs that are associated with resourcing the potato enhancement plan, potato harvest enhancement plan, but these costs are manageable. So how do we address them? Again, a continued commitment from our district team and the school leadership and the staff to make sure that this cultural initiative works. And it is a culture of Carleton County. It's It's something that we can't ever lose sight of. Effective monitoring needs to continue, and that additional look at the declining enrollment by your committee, and collaborating with teachers as well on how to improve the process. So as I scroll through some of these, I can go fairly quickly. This is my note to the president and the executive director, as well as the letter that I write to parents and guardians of farming families, just to make sure they know that as a district we support their children missing school. You can see here missing school to participate in the harvest. You can see here a letter that was written by the principal at the end of last school year, talking a little bit about potato harvest and encouraging early registration. Here's the minutes from their October 1st meeting, so I won't go into detail, but they're certainly available there for you to look at, and some actions and next steps. And a meeting summary. So remember, in the policy, there's a number of bullets where there's specific responsibilities of the superintendent and his team. So it's sort of a summary of each bullet and the action that was taken. So it's a good accountability statement, really. And then finally, and perhaps what's of great interest to you tonight, is Jay and Diane and the principal really examined your policy quite carefully and have made some suggestions. And I'm not sure if you'd like to take some time to reflect on them now, or maybe over the course of the next month and come back. But I was pleased to see that they looked at each bullet line for line and offered some suggestions that would make the policy more relevant for today's circumstances. Nicely written in red. So that's...
Any questions on this report? Sheila?
I would like to have more time to look at this, and because of the harvest season just getting over for most farmers up there. And one of the other things I'd like for you to add in this is, not only is it Carleton County, it's Victoria County as well, because Victoria County covers the Perth schools and John Caldwell. But yes, please allow the committee to have more time to speak to our farmers.
Yeah, my comment to add to Sheila's, I did not think that this policy, when we adapted it, was just for Carleton County. I thought it was, basically, if we want to send kids from Fredericton, it's an Anglo-West policy. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not saying that's our plan here, mm-hmm. but I don't believe it's just Carleton County, as you reported here. I'm pretty sure Victoria or anywhere we get kids up there, if you want to boost numbers, we're going to have to go to probably more than Carleton County.
Mm-hmm.
So am I missing something?
I think so. I think when this was designed, it was for really Carleton North High School, because it was replacing the potato break. Years ago, there may have even been potato breaks in
Victoria. There was
potato
break everywhere, then they went into Carleton County.
That's right. And over time, those disappeared, and the numbers went down, and it sort of evolved to Carleton North. And in the year before amalgamation, which is the last year of the potato break, it would have been Carleton North and Bath and Bristol and Florenceville School and Centerville. It would have been that cluster of schools, sort of Norma's schools,
Norma's
that would
school.
Have shut down for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I mean, if there were 100 and some odd kids going out to the farms, there were 500 kids that weren't.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it evolved. And I,
yeah.
Good heavens, you want to talk about deer in the headlights? I was coming along just as that change was being made, and that was one of my first meetings. And sitting with, with those stakeholders who had developed it, and it was ready to roll, and I learned a lot. But it was focused on. I even said, "Is it really grade 8 to 12?" Because grade 8 is, and we haven't had grade 8 students participate. It's really been Carlton North High School. And because if we look at expanding it, then there's some financial ramifications to it, for sure.
Well, I'm quoting the policy. I don't see it in our policy. I don't see Carlton anywhere in our... It's not there.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. So we're changing our policy. That's our box. That's it? Or can we follow the policy to...
Yeah, it's you that has to decide on the policy. The history is Carlton North High School.
John had his hand up and then Mary.
No, Sheila did.
Sheila, okay.
I became quite concerned back in our May meeting before when we learned about continual declines in participation in the program. I respect the fact that the harvest season just finished. I think it's important that the community do the work we discussed and consult with the farmers and be engaged and report back to the council before the end of this council comes to light. And I guess I'm also wondering, you noted about the meeting on the 19th, the same day as the luncheon. Is that possible to connect the committee with?
Absolutely.
For that meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And I guess that I think it's my overall summary is if the program participation does not suggest sustainable success in the long term, let us as the council be in control of that as opposed to letting it end and saying, oh, there it goes. And so I hope that we all share that interest in being engaged in controlling the outcome if we can.
I agree.
Anyone else? Anything else? Sheila?
I guess I was just made aware, David, because I stayed in Victoria County, that there was kids from the Perth and the John Caldwell area that was doing some harvest.
Really? Okay. I wasn't aware of them.
And we've had this discussion before about Victoria
and
specifically.
In Edmundston, when Sean Kilfoyle, the local farmer in the Carlton North area, stated the importance, I guess I'm with John saying that this, I hate for admin and teachers to decide for this to go down the drain. I would hope that it's the community members that's going to have the last call.
So when do you think, as far as the committee, we would look at a report or?
How about a January report?
Okay.
I know tonight Potatoes and Brunswick is meeting.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to be there for here.
So tentatively, or... You know, perhaps hopefully January.
And I report again, if you wanted to line it up.
Yeah.
It's on the planning cycle for?
April.
For April. Yeah, well, by April we've got to make a final decision, so
yeah.
It'd be good for January.
Yeah.
I'm making a note of that potato report. In January. So, you know, obviously it's up to the council, but to accept the report and table the changes to the policy would probably be appropriate.
I would move that we table this discussion until after January when we've had time to receive an interim report.
Okay. So, are we tabling the whole report? Or just the... Just the recommendations to change the policy. We're accepting the report, tabling the recommendations till January.
Accepting the report, accepting
okay.
No decision on it.
She's the leader, I'll tell her.
Sheila?
What is it?
It's up in your area, so.
Well, I'm just...
We're accepting the report, but not the changes to the policy.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So are you moving that, Sheila?
Sure.
So we have a motion to accept the report and table the changes to the policy. And this is seconded by John. Everyone understand? Any questions on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary? Okay.
Me, because it's not Carlton County owned.
Okay. Maybe we'll clarify that when we make the changes. Good.
It should be noted in the changes that that's something he's requesting is to identify the area that we're looking at.
Put it in policy.
We're talking about culture up there. That's part of that area. Yeah. It's not part of Frederick or Minto or whatever.
Well, aren't we tabling the report until January?
No.
Not the report. The recommendations to the policy.
Policy.
It's the only thing that's tabled. Because we're fine with the report.
I started with tabling the report, but they wanted just recommendations.
And we'll have the committee report. And
I guess my comment was this: whether which schools are involved, there aren't. That would be a natural progression out of the committee's study.
Right.
And so rather than there's work been done here, rather than ignoring the facts that are here, we're just accepting it and receiving it.
Yeah.
And then in January we can change this policy, do whatever we want. It's our policy.
That's what we said.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't what I heard, but.
So there's no changes to the policy tonight. You were just thinking, let's make those changes and then.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. All right. Okay, so under new business.
Question?
Yeah?
Are we not
voted?
We did.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed it. I fell asleep.
You were on the A side, I believe. Nackawick High School. David, we'll let you give us an update.
Took some notes here. So Nackawick High School. Nackawick High School, as you recall, there is a wing at the end of Nackawick High with four classrooms, two on the bottom floor, two on the top. It's actually a wing that was added to Nackawick High in the mid to late 1990s when the grade 9s moved into the high school as a part of the provincial move of grade 9s into the high school program. That wing has been shut down due to damage to that part of the building. And there's now some question about what next. So a lot of people involved. Of course, our facilities team, as a district, were involved. The Department of Education facilities team, and the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, DTI. And it could go in a variety of different directions. The Department of Education has asked for us as a district to provide some feedback to them on the utilization of the school. So a utilization study, so to speak. And we're happy to do that. So our facilities manager, with a building perspective, and our director of schools, with an educational perspective, have taken the lead on this utilization, space utilization work. And I hate to use the word study because that would suggest it's going to go on and on. And it's going to happen very quickly. In fact, it started today with the manager and the director taking out the maps and looking at the information in PowerSchool and getting a clear picture. And it'll continue next week with a walkabout in the school. And we'll present some findings to the Department of Education, I'm hoping by the end of next week. There's some important decisions that have to be made with that. And the feedback from the utilization report will, I'm sure, channel some conversation. So what could happen? Could we tear down that wing and not replace it? Some might suggest yes, that's okay. Because 15 years ago, the student population was almost double than what it is right now. It was in the 400s and now it's in the 200s. Some would say, well, we should repair that because, you know, high schools need to have that space. Both tearing it down and repair it costs money. And I know that our district wouldn't have a budget for it, the Department of Education wouldn't have a budget for it, Department of Transportation and Infrastructure probably don't have a budget for it. I'm not sure how those departments work, but it would be my understanding that it would be emergency type of funding that would need to be approved by government.
So that's what's participate, that's what's called for us to provide more information. So a decision hasn't been made yet on what will happen. Of course, as I don't know if it's good luck or bad luck would have it, we're in the middle of a sustainability study on a cluster of schools in Nakwik, including Nakwik High School. So we need to, we're on a schedule now to make some decisions by the end of January. And among those decisions, among those considerations, if the DEC were to vote in favor of closing a school, one of those possible considerations is moving the middle school students to the high school and having a 6 to 12 setting. So you can see implications there. So I provide this as an update to you. I am very hopeful that in a couple of weeks' time, middle of November, that we'll have a more definitive course of action from government on what it looks like. As it stands now, the wing is closed. There's no information to suggest that the rest of the school is structurally damaged. And I'll say business is continuing as usual. There are four classrooms that aren't in use and teachers and classes scattered throughout the building and making do. That's the update on Nakwik High.
Questions? John?
You talked about the rest of the building. Did you seek a report specifically on that and take a report back?
I did not, no.
Did we talk about that? Did we?
We talked about it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. And there was no direction to go out and get that. No. We know that there are two structural engineer reports that the Department of Education has in hand right now.
Anyone else? Jay?
So is it feasible for us to maybe provide some action and maybe delaying some things on our part to wait for this information to come back?
Yeah. Well, the public meeting is... Public meeting number two is scheduled for November 24th. And I think we should look at changing some dates there.
Well, Mr. Chair, given that the study of the Nakwik schools is not triggered, that we decided to do that on our own, and also with the information that David has just given us, and I know that the Nakwik stakeholders have been requesting a lot of information in terms of the study that I know David expressed to them that it was going to take some time to get it. And with the shortness of time between now and the 24th meeting, I would like to suggest, and also I believe the parents have also, or somebody has requested that there be a delay in that meeting. I would suggest that we postpone the meeting from Tuesday, November 24th to Tuesday, December the 15th, which will give everybody time perhaps to sort some of this out and to get the answers they need in order to give us the presentation that we deserve in terms of their perspective. So I would move that we postpone the meeting scheduled for the 24th of November to Tuesday, December 15th at the same time.
We have a second, Jane? So we understand the motion. Is there any questions about that? John?
I just wanted to take a moment to look at the schedule here.
John?
Same location?
Yeah.
Nakwik Elementary School, I think, is where we have to schedule.
Yes.
That's the
15th.
And the thinking, John, while you're looking at that, is it gives us more time to provide them with answers so that they can prepare for their presentation.
I support the idea of giving them more,
yeah.
You know, because of the much waiting for information. I just want to understand the schedule to make sure that I, in my opinion, think it's workable.
Right.
So we will be meeting on
Tuesday.
December 8th, December 15th, and December 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll Santa Claus on the
24th. I'm just thinking of the reason that would be it for December.
And we are thinking of postponing Christmas because our schedule is
too tight. We'll have Christmas next year.
We're doing July.
Question.
Question on the motion.
This is it. We'll let John finish. But. And we can make a further change, but we felt it. You know, I think people feel it's important to let them know right away that,
yeah.
You know.
It's over, I think, John.
What about the what about the Thursday? What about December the 10th?
Mr. Chair, if Thursday the 10th is on there, if it was the 10th, I wouldn't be able to.
David's going to be.
David's
going to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Move ready on. For the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So we'll inform David.
I'll communicate formally tomorrow.
To the school, correct?
And of course,
letter,
we'll work.
Letter to the parents. I'll put it on. Who knows? Tara may beat me to it.
And let's hope there's not a Christmas concert at the school.
Let's hope there's not a Christmas concert at the school that night.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I already did.
We'll check.
Mm. And we would change for that.
One group would change, either us or them. I would think.
Usually it's.
I think it would be
17th.
Us.
Usually, cannabis.
One never knows.
So it should be around the same time.
Go call Mary at home.
Sure.
All right, so next item is mental health. And there was a couple of things around mental health. David, did you have something under that, or is it just what
well,
you
I
talked about?
On that. I believe that
okay.
we talked at a previous information session about asking the chair to send a letter to the minister requesting that mental health be the focus of one of the minister's PD days for this fiscal year.
Yeah.
So I would like to make a motion that we do that, that we ask the chair to forward that letter on to the minister.
Okay. You second?
Well, I would second, yeah. I manage everybody who seconded.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay. On the
only one person's here.
Just to clarify the motion, based on a previous discussion, Jane, I had written down that the chair write to the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development with a request to confirm one professional learning day within the 2015-2016 calendar year that will have the sole focus on mental health and the positive learning environment.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. Exactly.
Is that what you had in mind?
And that's exactly what I thought was.
Okay. So that would be the motion on the table. Thank you. John?
I'm good now. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Could you just repeat that? Sorry.
That the chair write to the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development with a request to confirm one professional learning day within the 2015-16 school calendar that will have the sole focus on mental health and the positive learning environment.
Amen.
Any questions on the motion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, same side. Motion carried. Okay, so we'll get that letter out. As far as policy governance, concerning our annual planning cycle, in October, it has listed that a report will be written, or that we would report on CSR 6. That is typically reported on in June. And I think what was meant here is regarding HR matters and the superintendent evaluation. So that will still go on, but we don't need SR 6 on the annual planning cycle. So in order to remove it, basically, we would need a motion to remove it from the October planning cycle.
So moved.
John, do we have a seconder? Any questions on the motion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? All right, motion carried. All right, so transfer of PSSC to new schools. David, do you want to give a little background on that?
Sure. Just last year, we had 7 schools close and 2 schools open. And among those seven schools that closed at various times from December through to June, there would be seven PSSCs. And the Education Act provides allowance for the maximum number of PSSC members to go over the maximum number of PSSC members when there is a transfer of students from one school to another. But the Ed Act does call for a formal motion from the District Education Council to allow for that to occur. So in my mind, the simplest way would be, if so desired by the council, that somebody make a motion to formalize the transfer of seven PSSC committees and their subsequent members to the appropriate schools. And it just formalizes what's actually happening already.
So moved.
John, is there a seconder?
Seconder.
Terry? Does everyone understand the motion and what's going on?
Yes.
Yes. Any questions? Ready for the question?
Questions.
All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Okay. Motion carried. Great, and that's it we have for new business. All right, so now we move on to public comment. We want to thank members of the public that are here. If you have any comments or questions, we ask you stand, state your name, and direct your comments or questions to the chair. All right, awesome. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here. Closing comments. Well, we have a meeting November 22nd. That's our public meeting, Woodstock Education Center. Please note on your agenda that the sustainability study for NACWIC has been changed to December the 15th. So
when is our meeting?
November the 26th.
26th.
Yes.
What? You said 22nd.
Yeah, 26. I changed my mind. No, I read it wrong.
November 26th.
I'm a good reader, but...
You work well.
So.
Mark,
okay.
Could I make one request?
Kim?
I would just like to request, if he hasn't already done so, if the superintendent would, on the board where the parents from McAdam reported their survey, thank them for the effort of doing that on our behalf. Certainly directed us in what we chose to do.
Could you just clarify your request again?
I could show you. Like.
Well, I saw the comments.
So the parents from McAdam surveyed their members and they posted it on the board where we're sustainability studies.
Right.
So if the superintendent hasn't already thanked them, I would like him to thank them on our behalf for doing that survey for us.
So
not for us, but for doing that survey to inform us on their...
I guess I'm just questioning the precedence of the process, and I don't have an issue with
at the meeting on
the board, just at the meeting, whatever. But
at the meeting,
you see where I'm coming from.
At the meeting, I made a request that if there was anyone in the community who didn't want us to remove Harvey as an option, they should let us know. And so I'm just recognizing the fact that they did that.
No, I think it's great. I think
so no formal motion, just a yeah. Right. Good. Motion to adjourn. Awesome. Mary. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
David, are you going to be able to do Carlton North
I
April
see
19th
here.
Evening?
I put it on here. Did you grab it from me?
Did I think it was underneath the